It's easy to have faith when life is good. Faith in humanity, faith in the goodness and meaning of life, and faith that, behind it all, there is a real God who is with us and loves us. But then life happens. Real life. Hard life. Nothing turns out quite like we think it will. If you've been there, or if you are there right now, I get it. Boy, do I get it. And that is why I am glad you are here. Because when you and I choose to pull together rather than push apart, the very thing that held the power to destroy us becomes the means to helping us find the life and relationships we've always been looking for. I'm Michelle Cashatt, and welcome to This Undone Life Together. Hey there, friends, it's Michelle Cashatt here, and I want to tell you a story. Actually, no, this was just, I don't want to tell you it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Today, I released a new blog post that I had actually posted it last night, but it's been circling around today, but it was all in shame. And it was all about a story, something that I should have done a long time ago that I kept putting off and didn't do. In fact, 4 years passed. And 4 years, can you believe that? 4 years, and I kept telling myself today wasn't the day, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow, and it never happened. And that thing that I knew I needed to do that I kept putting off and not doing was changing my voicemail on my phone. Now, some of y'all don't think that's a big deal. And I get it. It sounds like such a small thing. But here's the story behind that. About 6, 7, 8 years ago, I recorded the voicemail that's been on my phone this whole entire time. It was super upbeat and positive and full of energy. But the difference is that voicemail was recorded before cancer stole my speech. That voicemail was recorded years ago before I had the multiple surgeries that removed 2/3 of my tongue. So that means the woman that I could hear on my voicemail on my cell phone was the woman who sounded normal. I don't know how else to say it. She sounded like an average human being. She didn't have a lisp. She didn't spit when she talked. She didn't have a hard time pronouncing some words and some phrases. And she even looked different, right? She didn't have the scarring all over her neck and all over on the inside of her mouth. And I had the hardest time getting rid of that voicemail. It was almost as if I deleted that voicemail and recorded a new one, that old woman would be gone, that somehow I would die. Like, there's that part of me that felt like I didn't want to say goodbye to her yet. In fact, even as I'm talking to you about this right now, I can't even believe it, but even as I'm talking to you right now, all the emotion is right here. It's just right here. It's all I can do not to burst into tears at the thought of saying goodbye to her. And so I didn't. Even though I knew I needed to change my voicemail at some point in time, I needed to have a voicemail that was my current reality. I was actually struggling to do it. And what happened is that compounded. I noticed that I didn't want to do videos. I had no problem doing speaking events or doing audio. I shouldn't say I had no problem. It was still hard. But for some reason, doing an audio recording, a podcast, a radio recording, or speaking at an event didn't feel quite so vulnerable. People could hear my voice sounded different, but they couldn't see all the differences. So I could almost tolerate doing audible audio kind of recordings, but video was a whole different level of vulnerability. To allow people to hear how I sounded different and see how I sounded different, it was too much. And I was afraid. I think part of it was fear, but it was deeper than that. It was deeper. I've been doing video audio for a decade. I've been doing TV, radio, all of this. What it really was when I got down to it was shame. I was embarrassed and ashamed of how I sounded. And it's not necessarily because anybody said anything to me or did anything, okay? Although there have been people who have made some, you know, people can be cruel. There have been people who have made comments and let me know how annoying it is to listen to me. Fine, so be it. I usually can handle criticism. It really wasn't external. It was an internal belief that had taken hold. And this is why I want to share this with you, okay? So shame is different than embarrassment. And if any of you have read any of Brené Brown's things or others, there is a big difference between shame and embarrassment. Shame is when we internalize a sense of unworthiness and a sense of not being worth connection, worth relationship, related to some kind of perceived flaw or inadequacy or whatever it may be. So for me, I started to believe that I did not have value as a communicator, as a speaker, just even a human in normal conversation, because my flawed, imperfect speech, the fact that you can see I have a fake tongue in my mouth, I spit when I talk, I have a lisp, there's some words I can't say, made me less than qualified and unworthy of connection and belonging. Now, you may be sitting there going, why in the world would she think that? But the truth is you guys have something going on like that too. We all have what I would call the chink in our armor, that thing that is the tender spot, right? It's that part of us that is so tender. And so it may come from a wound from a long time ago. It may come from childhood. It may come from somebody who said or did something that could come from trauma. Or it may just be that we've bought into a false narrative that's very tender for us, all right? So I wrote this blog post last night. All day today, I've been receiving emails and messages and text and comments and everything else about this blog post. And what I'm discovering is a universality of the experience of shame, that we all have something. And even if we work really, really hard to have a confident exterior, we all have something that makes us feel unworthy of connection and belonging. And for me, what was so big was speech. However, some of the people I heard from today, one person said, actually several people said, it was their weight. They don't want to do speaking engagements. They don't want to do video. They don't want to do Instagram Live. They don't want to do Facebook Live. They don't want to even have pictures of themselves taken because they feel so unworthy of being part of this greater human race family because of how they look, because of their weight. Another person wrote and said, I had several other people that have different kinds of disabilities. Now, you may not think it's a true disability because it's not as obvious, but there are some people that have speech disabilities like me, some that have vision or hearing disabilities, some that have physical flaws, like they're missing limbs or fingers or can't walk or whatever it may be. But something that makes it obvious that there's a difference, right? Something that's a difference. And because of that, they feel shame. And what shame does is somehow make you feel less than as a result of whatever this perceived imperfection is. A gentleman wrote me a message, and this is what he said. Oh gosh, it just hit my heart. He said, I've made too many mistakes in the past, just too many mistakes. And no matter how hard I try to grow and improve, I can't forget the things that I've done wrong. Oh my gosh, how many of you have been there? You have this history of mistakes. Maybe it's just even one thing that happened a while ago that you can't let go of. Maybe it's a whole slew of them. But there's a sense of this thing that is causing you to feel shame. What shame does, it makes you want to hide. So any of you who have connected with me here on online, on Facebook or Instagram or wherever, know that it is rare for me to do a video. I actually used to do weekly Facebook Live videos, and it was so hard for me. I think I just wasn't ready. I did it for a while, but it was so hard to keep showing up and feeling completely flawed and inadequate and full of shame. So what shame does is it causes you to hide. So you get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you basically stop showing up to your own life. We all do this in different ways. I think of I've had different struggles in my life. Weight has been a challenge at different seasons of my life. And what I noticed I did during that season is I would wear bigger and bigger clothes. And what is that? It's nothing more than hiding. I would just wear bigger, baggier things in an effort to try to hide behind it. When it comes to mistakes, there are times in my own regret and shame about mistakes, I actually become overly controlling. Like I become so self-righteous and trying to legislate behavior around me. And really it comes from a shame place. It comes from my own feeling of inadequacy. So shame makes us smaller and smaller and smaller. We start to hide. And the funny thing is we hide because we think it's going to shut shame up. But the smaller we get, the louder the shame. That's the irony. The smaller we get, the more we hide, the more shame gets louder and grouchier and meaner and fiercer and all of that. It doesn't shut up. It actually gets more powerful. And so you see how this horrible, vicious cycle happens. We get smaller and smaller. Shame gets louder and louder. So we get smaller and smaller. Shame gets louder and louder. And ultimately what ends up happening is we don't enjoy our own lives anymore. We miss out on so many opportunities to connect with other imperfect, in progress, flawed, disabled, whatever you want to call it, people on this planet. We miss out on that. And so yesterday I did something that I knew I should have done a long time ago, and I changed my voicemail. I'm sure you would love me to tell you that it was fun and full of freedom and joy, and it wasn't. It was hard. It was uncomfortable. It was sad for me. I felt grief and sadness doing it. And quite honestly, afraid, you know, afraid that what if I show up and do more video, more talking in public, face to face, whatever, what if I do that and I end up rejected? What if I end up being criticized or shut down because I don't sound like everybody else? Oh my gosh, emotion right here again. You guys see, I want you to see what's happening. This is what shame does, okay? And I feel it right here. Everything wants to run and hide. But I am tired. I am tired of shame holding me hostage. I am tired of shame calling the shots. I am tired of letting my life be dictated by a hardship and difficulty that I never chose, but it just happened. And besides all of that, my friends, there are so many of us out there that need to have a place where we can belong with other imperfect people just like us. And that means we need to start speaking and showing up. We need to start letting ourselves be seen, even if we are a big fat mess and we don't have it all together. Because that's the reality for, I would say, all of us. So here's what I learned. And I knew this to be true. I just had to wait for some time to get up the guts to do it. So the secret to overcoming shame, the secret to facing down shame and to make it smaller and not bigger is you gotta talk back. You gotta talk back. Shame creates a narrative that plays in your head over and over and over again. And I would bet that many of you don't even realize it's happening. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I'm doing. I want you to do. I want you to catch the narrative that's happening, that's making you feel shame, whatever it is. For me, it was nobody wants to listen to a girl who talks funny. Nobody wants to listen to a woman who spits and has all kinds of verbal tics now and who has a list. Nobody wants to listen to that. Not when there's a world full of people posting videos and podcasts and everything else online. Nobody wants to listen to somebody who is this flawed. That was the message I kept saying. Then what you do after you identify the narrative, I want you to ask yourself this question. Ready? Ask yourself this question. Is that serving me well? Is that message, is that narrative that I'm listening to over and over and over again, is that serving me well? Is that helping me live my one beautiful life? Is it helping me to enjoy the gift that I have been given? Is it serving me well? I don't want you to ask what anybody else would think, because They are not your business. So I don't want you to ask what anybody else thinks about that narrative. I want you to get right in your own space. You figure out what that narrative is that you're believing in. And I want you to ask yourself, is it serving me well? Is that narrative serving me well? And I'm guessing for the vast majority of you, it isn't. It isn't. All right? It's robbing you of life. It's robbing you of peace and sleep and joy. And it's robbing you of the ability to connect with other men and women, other humans that are doing their best to experience this life. We need people who are unafraid to just show up as they are and just to love each other as best as we possibly can. So is it serving you? First of all, what's your narrative? Second of all, is that narrative serving you well? Is it helping you to savor and enjoy and leverage your one beautiful life? Chances are, no. All right? So once that happens, you've got to come up with a new message. You have got to come up with a new narrative, a new purpose, a new something that is going to replace that narrative that isn't serving you well. And so for me, what I had to do is, you know what? This is me. This is it. This is all I got. I can't do anything about the past. I can't do anything about the many, many ways that my body has been compromised. I can't do a darn thing about it. All right. And I can wish it was different all the day long. It's not going to change a darn thing. It is what it is. It happened. However, I have today. So am I going to spend my time looking back and looking at all the ways I wish things were different? Or am I going to step into what is and do my best to leverage what I have? And this is what I got. This is it. All the spit and all the slurred words and everything else. And so I've decided that's my new narrative. It's not a woman who talks funny. Nobody wants to listen to a woman who talks funny. Instead, I'm thinking, there's a lot of people out there that need to know they're not alone. That's what I'm doing this for. I'm not doing it to connect with the people that want perfect speech. I'm doing it to connect with the people who feel like they're beyond redemption and they need to know they're not alone. That's why I do it. Period. That's my new narrative. And step number four, are you ready for this? So not only do you have to come up with a new narrative, but you need to take some action to push against the shame. So the very thing that's causing you to hide, the very thing that you're most afraid of, and for me it was video. Hello, do y'all see what I'm doing right now? You have no idea how hard this is for me. Oh, once again, emotion right here. It's like, it's right here. You guys have no idea how hard this is for me. Everything in me wants to pull back and hide and not do it. In fact, I was supposed to do this video first thing this morning. If y'all want to check your clocks, you can see it is now past 5:30 Mountain Time in the evening. I have been putting it off all day because quite frankly, it's hard. Oh my gosh. It's so vulnerable and raw and opening yourself up to that risk. But that is the key to shutting down shame. You got to identify the narrative. All right. You got to ask yourself if it's serving you well. You got to talk back. You got to talk back and come up with a new narrative. And then you have to take some kind of action to do something different. You got to take some kind of action that actually pushes into the very thing that is making you want to hide. And for me, this is it. So now it's your turn. You know I was going to get all up in your business. It's your turn. You need to figure out if you want to live hostage to the past, if you want to live a slave to your history, if you want to stay completely hijacked by your flaws and imperfection, or if you care about people and you care about your life more than you care about your flaws. And that's why I do this, because I love you more than I love hiding. So we're going to keep showing up, but it's your turn too. I tell people this quite regularly that I mentor and coach. I will be vulnerable with you, but here's the deal. Vulnerability is all about relationship. That means it's reciprocal. So that means I need you to do the same thing back. I need you to do the same thing as well. I want you to figure out what your narrative is that's holding you hostage. I want you to identify it, write it down. I want you to ask yourself if it's serving you well. I want you to talk back. And then I want you to take one step to push into that place of shame and discover that you can live beyond the thing that terrifies you the most. All right. That's it. That's all I got for today, but I'm exhausted. That's what happens, but it's so worth it. I also wanted to let you know before I go is I am going to, oh, I don't even want to say this out loud because if I say it, I'm gonna have to actually do it. I'm gonna start doing videos on Wednesdays. I'm gonna start doing videos on Wednesdays and occasionally other times, but Wednesdays I'm gonna do a live both on Facebook as well as Instagram. I am going to aim for Wednesday mornings. 9 a.m. Wednesday mornings, mountain time, to do some kind of live to talk about this undone life together. This undone life together. And I'm purposely showing up on video because podcasts would be too easy for me. So we're going to do it over video and we're going to connect that way. But if you want to be a part of this, we're going to talk all about this undone life together. We're going to do it Wednesdays, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Facebook, Instagram, wherever you want to go. I'll eventually post it to YouTube so you can find it there. But my goal is for you and I to figure out how to walk through this very complicated undone life, but to do it together, not alone. Because the secret to endure impossible circumstances is all about not doing it in isolation. And my goal is to create a safe space for us to do that together, all of us with our lisp and spit and everything else. And aren't you all glad that you're behind a screen and you don't get spit on face to face? So, all right, friends. Thanks for hanging out. I'm so glad that you came and spent time with me, and I can't wait to see what we're going to learn and figure out together. Whatever led you here today, I want you to know two things before you go. You aren't alone, not even close. And two, you matter and your story matters. We need you more than you know. Thank you for joining me today, my friends. Have a question or comment? Share it below, please. Do you know a loved one who could use a little hope and community too? Share this episode with them. And to be sure you don't miss our time together, subscribe to this podcast and my YouTube channel, and you'll be notified each time I post a new episode. Until then, brothers and sisters, I love you, and I love doing this undone life together.